Okay, good morning. A special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time, our first-time worshipers. My name's John. I'm lead pastor at Bethany. And if you're sitting close to the end of a row where there's a worship folder, would you do us a favor and pick that up and sign it and pass it back and forth? And guests, especially if you have questions about the mission and ministry here at Bethany, please sign that. We would love to get to know you and answer any questions you have about the church. Here at Bethany, we are in part two of a series called Your Church, and we are doing this series because it's your church. And remember what we said last week? We said you are your church, that as you go, we go. And that's so it's important for us to explain what we're supposed to be doing and how we're doing it and why we're doing it. And so that's what we're doing. And I'm going to start because with the reason why, one of the big reasons why 2 years ago I really was excited to become a part of Bethany is because of the strong tradition of groups here at Bethany, especially the small group ministry. Now, when I say small groups, I'm talking about 8 to 10 people who meet, maybe 4 to 6 couples. Some are larger, some are smaller, but people who meet around a curriculum and some kind of structure and study. And we really believe it's important. In fact, we dedicate a lot of time and a lot of human resources to groups. In fact, you might see the visible gathering here on Sunday morning, but we really believe it's this invisible part of our church, the group ministry, that is our strength, and it is the heart of who we are as a church. In fact, there's over almost 500 people involved in groups, and you might think that that's a lot, but we know that there's probably 3 times as many people that could get connected into groups. So I want to do everything in my power to convince you to consider getting connected into a group. And I want to tell you why I think that's important today. Do you guys remember when a few years ago when the tablet readers came out, like Kindle, and when the Kindle came out, I remember thinking, well, that's just silly. I mean, why would I read a book on a screen? I mean, you got your book right here, you read it, you can mark it up, you do it, you hold it. Why would I want to do something like that? And then I talked to somebody, and they came to me and they said, hey, have you seen this Kindle? I'm like, yeah. They said, well, you know what you can do with it? You can put all your books and put it together, and it can be safe, and you'll never lose any of your books. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I talked to somebody else, and they said, hey, did you see this Kindle? I'm like, yes, I've seen the Kindle. And they said, do you know you can make highlights on the pages on the screen, and the Kindle will organize all those highlights, all your notes together. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I ran into someone else, and they said, have you seen this Kindle? I'm like, no, I haven't seen the Kindle. And they said, do you know that when you're reading the Kindle, you can increase the font size? Oh, yes. I said, you say what? And so I went out and got the Kindle. And if you're under 40 years of age, you don't get it, but you'll get it soon enough. So I went out and got the Kindle, and sure enough, it was a great experience. And you're probably wondering, what does it have to do with anything? And I'm kind of wondering too, but you see, the whole idea of reading on a screen was something that I had no interest in until I talked to some people, and then I experienced it, and then I was convinced. I'm telling other people about it. And that's kind of why we love small groups and why we're so committed to small groups, because it helps bridge, you know, kind of like the Kindle. When I had, you know, there was a gap between, I had no interest in reading a Kindle until somebody told me about it. And when someone told me about it, it bridged the gap for me. And like that, small groups function the same way. In the same way, they take what we spill out every Sunday morning, and they bridge the gap between what we do here on Sunday morning and your real life. Because I know many of you, most of you, you're trying to be faithful each and every week. You're trying to follow Jesus. But the challenge is this. It's not so much that you don't believe. You know, it's not that, oh, Pastor, I just don't know whether I really think this is good or not. No, most people say, Pastor, I absolutely believe this is the right thing. The problem is you don't know the world I'm in. You don't know the work that environment that I'm in. You don't understand my relationship issues, my family issues. There's just a big gap between what happens between the information I get on Sunday morning and the application during the week. There's a big gap. And we absolutely believe that small groups helps bridge that gap between the gospel truth and your real life. Because some of you, you have a big gap at work. I mean, you want to do what the right thing is. You want to do what's right, but the problem maybe in your work environment is nobody cares about what's right. Maybe they just don't really care. Nobody's patting you on the back for doing the right thing. They're talking about the numbers, but they're not necessarily talking about doing the right thing, and you experience a big gap. And as a result, you don't know how to work out your faith in middle of a subtly hostile environment. Or maybe for you, it's not a work environment. Maybe it's your family environment, and you're trying to figure out and work out the issues that you have with your family and your relationships. And we talk about relationships all the time up here on Sunday morning, but Pastor, you don't understand my story. There's a big gap between what I hear in the gospel and what I believe Jesus is telling me to do and trying to work out my faith. For some of you, for teenagers, for those teens that are here, you experience a big gap because sometimes we talk about, you know, our morality and talk about being loyal to God and protecting our body. And you think, well, I go back to my network of friends and nobody's talking about that. How am I supposed to bridge that gap? And all the pressure that's out there that really, even if I wanted to follow Jesus in this context, I don't know how. And so we all experience this gap. And what we want you to realize is that when we sit down in a circle with people who are in the same life stage, who are struggling with the same issues, we can begin to gain traction in terms of living out our faith in real life. That's why we're so committed to our groups, because they bridge the gap between gospel truth and real life. It's where we do life together. Our groups are where faith grows the best. You don't necessarily get that here on Sunday morning. The Apostle Paul helps us with this. I love the scripture. I love the book of Romans. What's really amazing about the book of Romans is nobody really can explain how a bunch of churches just popped up over in Rome within 20 years of the resurrection. I mean, that was about 1,500 miles away from Jerusalem where Jesus, you know, did ministry and was raised from the dead. And yet, there were Christians who gathered in Rome, even though Nero, the emperor, was famous for persecuting Christians. And so Paul writes this letter to the Christians, and he says some very important things that I want to go back to. He says this: first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. In other words, he's saying that whatever you're doing, however you're living out your faith in a hostile environment, it's becoming very well known all over the place. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. Then he says this: for I am longing to see you. And then he explains why he wants to see the Christians in Rome. He has heard of their faith, and now he wants to be with them. And he says, here is why: so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. And I guess when he wrote that, he thought, maybe that's not quite what I want to say. And he rewrites it. He restates it. And he says in verse 12, or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. In other words, he's saying, look, I want to be in your presence. I want to tell you the story about God's faithfulness to me. I want to tell you stories about how I applied this information about Jesus and how I've applied it in my life. I want to tell you stories of where God has been active in the world, and I want to sit down with you, and I'm going to tell you my story, and then I want you to tell me your story. I want to know exactly how you were able to persevere through this hostile environment you live in. I want to know how you heard about Jesus to begin with. I want to be able to hear your story so when we get together and hear each other's stories, our faith will grow. We'll be built up. Now, if you've ever been in that kind of a small group or faith conversation, then you understand that dynamic. Because when people share their faith stories with one another, our faith grows. I had lunch with a member of the church a couple weeks ago, and he told me an amazing story about what had happened to him in his career. He thought everything was going fine. He was halfway through his career when suddenly the company reorganized. It was completely out of his control. They let him go, and there he was suddenly realizing he was there was no certainty left in his life. And he said that now looking back, he can see that it was only in that environment that he could hear God call him to take some risks that he had always wanted to. And he said, if it wasn't for that environment, if it wasn't for God kind of leading him to take bigger risks, he never would have started the company that he now leads successfully. And I walked away from that thinking, not only, man, that was a powerful story, but I realized that his faith story was my faith story. And because it dawned on me, that's what God had been calling me to do, is take some bigger risks. Even when I'm in an environment of uncertainty, and I bet God is calling you to do the same, for when you feel uncertain, chances are God's using that in order to help you take bigger risks for Him. See, so our faith stories, when we share our faith stories, our faith grows. But that doesn't happen real well in rows, does it? It happens better in circles. That's why groups are essential. It's only in that community that you get the life part added to the gospel part. And that's where you get traction with your faith. What I love about our group system here is that even though many of you dropped off your kids at Sunday school this morning for the first time this program year, while we call it Sunday school, what we're introducing to your children is small group concepts and principles. We want them to have their voice heard. We want their questions to be answered or at least addressed. We want them to be able to grow up into young men and women, and what I love, who value those faith conversations. And what's great about our confirmation program is that we now are using part of our confirmation program, and we're working our youth into a small group. So when you're confirmed, you will have experienced the value of small groups, so that when our kids are leaving for college, they value not just the Sunday morning environment, but they value the circles, then the support that comes with it, and the faith stories that they have heard, and that is what will ground them in a lifestyle of discipleship. And so that's what we're doing for them. What about you? Are you in a small group? Are you in a group? And it doesn't have to be a group here at this church. It doesn't have to be in our sandbox. But are you in a structured kind of study or curriculum kind of group? It's essential. And if you're not, we want you to get in a group this fall. And I know there's many reasons. I can list them. Why you're not in a group? Probably at the top of the list is what? I'm busy. But don't forget the foundation. Don't forget the foundation. For some of you, you've been in some small groups and you had some negative experiences. Well, listen, here's what I want to say to you about that. You've had a bad haircut, but you didn't give up on seeing a barber. right? Or a hairdresser, right? Even though you had a bad haircut, you didn't, you know, give up seeing a hairdresser. Or maybe you got bad advice from a doctor, but you did not give up on going to see a doctor, right? So maybe you had a bad small group experience. We don't want you to give up. We kind of want you to get over that and get into another group. And so we've created some environments for you, so a place where you can go. It's called Group Launch, and it's going to happen next week after the services in the Activity Center. And it's kind of like a ministry fair, but we want you to go there because there's going to be groups there who are looking to add to their groups. There'll be an opportunity to start groups, and there's opportunity for singles and co-eds and men and women. And we want you to go there, and then we have somebody on staff, Anna, who's great as our director of community, who will coach you through all of that and help you. And if you're part of a group and you've been off for the summer, we want you to circle up again, make the phone calls you need to make, and get together again. And listen, do me a favor. When you're looking for a curriculum, before you go to the internets, come to us. We've got resources. We have recommendations for groups. We put a lot of time in trying to set you up for success. So please reach out to us. Because we believe it's not enough to sit in rows. It's not enough. You need to be in an environment in which you can discuss, how do we live this out? How do I make this apply to my life? How does this gospel free me from the chains, from the things that are keeping me from being the person that I want to be? You see, those kinds of conversations, it's life on life that you won't get in any other place but your group. So let me pray. Good and gracious God, the message of your goodness, the message of your grace is one that is so big that it's even hard for us to believe, let alone try to apply it to our everyday life. Lord, we have baggage. Lord, we feel somewhat inadequate, and we have plenty of self-doubt when it comes to being able to talk about our faith with other people, Lord. So I pray that you will lower the stress and open up the windows, the doors, whatever metaphor, to opportunities to gather as a community into groups where faith conversations can be an encouraging and powerful vehicle to grow our faith. We pray for our community and kids and our youth and the future of our church. In your name, amen.